The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today's a hot one.
Hot one.
Well, it's hot outside, but
it is.
That's not what I'm...
What are we doing out there? About 102 right now?
I don't know. 100 million.
Yeah, it's...
We only live 2 miles from the sun, so it gets really hot here.
I was out on the sidewalk frying up my breakfast a minute ago.
Some other guy out there whose head was fried, so...
Yeah, he was talking to somebody, and it wasn't me.
Yeah. Reminds me, we should probably lock the door. Before we get all carried away, just wanted to let people know that if you would like to access our amazing archives that go back for years and years and years, you can find those at wethepeopleradio.us. And that's also got all the information, contact information for us. It has emails, phone numbers, and whatever all you could possibly need.
Mm-hmm.
We air Sundays live from noon to 2 here at KCNR Studios in Redding, California. And then we replay the show in Philadelphia and New Jersey on WNJC, on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. That goes between, oh no, it's true mental. What are we, Bob? Keeps changing.
3:30 to 5 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon.
Did change.
3:30.
What do I know?
Yeah, I know. See?
2, 3, 4.
I know all of a sudden I had this, like, I usually keep the page up and I can read it. Anyway, that's what we're doing. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Oh, and I'm Bob Martin.
So that way you have names to go with the voices. We're going to be chatting with Sheriff John Lopey out of Siskiyou County today because we talk about them a lot. They are the frequent subject of many of our programs for land use issues.
And for folks that don't know Siskiyou County, they are the most northern county in in California. They border the Oregon border, and on the south they border Shasta County.
Yeah, so they're just north of us and just south of Oregon. It's a beautiful county. Just a ton of resources, rivers. Really, they have Mount Shasta in their county. It's 14,000 feet. You have all sorts of great stuff in that county, and yet they are constantly besieged with government agencies and all sorts of problems. Today we're going to be talking about marijuana. And
nobody calls it marijuana.
I know.
it makes me
a nerd.
I should have wrote it down. There's like 15 other names for it, but it's not marijuana.
It's marijuana. We might have people that are old like us listening.
That's true.
You don't know.
That's true. They may not know what hooch is or any of the other
pothead.
Pothead fucker.
There's gonna be a lot of fun with that. But we shouldn't joke because it's actually a really serious topic, and it's destroying their county.
Yes.
Absolutely making
very serious
a
problem.
Disaster out of their county. So while they try to maintain the law, actually, in their county, they have had these cartels taking over. Well, then you intersect that with an election where you're going to try to rein in the growing, and out come the cartels. Then you have suspected voter fraud. But then rather than looking at the voter fraud, the ACLU and those guys come rolling in, and they decide to accuse the sheriff of voter suppression.
Yeah. And so you've got a lot of folks up there growing that are doing business with the cartels. They may not necessarily be part of the cartel.
Well, they come from all over the place.
Yeah,
they know where the market is and a little nutshell of what we have going on. So John Lopey has an amazing biography, and I'm going to let him give it himself because I forgot to put it on the website. My bad. And it's extensive. He's a veteran, former highway patrolman, so lots of law enforcement. And he's written a fabulous paper on marijuana that I will post to the website as soon as he sends it to me. So do we have him in there, trapped?
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, nice.
I'm with you. Thank
John,
you.
How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, John.
Well, I guess afternoon now.
Yeah, we blew the morning. It's over. Give people your bio, some of your information there.
Well, I started my law enforcement career in 1977 with the Vacaville Police Department. I was a reserve police officer while attending Cal State University Sacramento. That was after serving a tour of duty with the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era. I didn't go to Vietnam. I went to the Philippines, spent a year over there, was in a couple other units. Was honorable discharged from the Marine Corps, started college, and eventually went to Vacaville Police Department. Then went on the California Highway Patrol. I started out my career in East Los Angeles, worked Oakland, worked a little of the coast, worked in Northern California, eventually became an officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and retired as assistant chief with almost 33 years. And I decided to run for sheriff and was elected back in 2011 by the great citizens of Siskiyou County. And I'm on my second term with, this is my sixth year in office as a sheriff. I also, I served some time in the Marine Corps Reserves, but was going to be a Marine officer, but instead I went on the Highway Patrol. So what I did is I went in the Army National Guard. The Cal Guard at that time was a platoon leader for 4 years and actually served 30 years as a commissioned officer, first with the Army National Guard and then with the Army Reserve for the last 26 years. I was a went to Army Officer Candidate School, and I've served in three branches, military, police, infantry, and civil affairs, which for my last 16 years in civil affairs, I served in Haiti, Bosnia twice, Afghanistan, Iraq. I'm a decorated combat veteran, and it was my great honor, serving in the military, and I had the opportunity to go to a lot of places. In fact, I did spend a lot of time in Southeast Asia also with the civil affairs because our area of responsibility was in the Pacific Rim. But then after 9/11/2001, most of our time was spent in the Middle East. So I've been very fortunate to be able to serve in law enforcement for well over 38 years, and I had almost 38 years active in reserve service with the military. So I've been very fortunate to have been in uniform almost continuously since my 18th birthday.
So while defending the rights of citizens of the country in a variety of positions, you wind up this one article. I just thought the title was just so obnoxious, I guess we'll call it. And then I guess we better take a quick break, huh, before we launch into this. Am I on track, Bob? Okay. Show me a sign. Because when we come back, really, your work history and your personal history and all that, and then you wind up with an article that says right-wing sheriff under investigation for intimidating minority voters in California primary.
Right.
I mean, did your head just explode when you saw that?
Yeah, that was a little over the top, and I was vilified by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I had it out with them. I think they changed, their online entry. The ACLU, really went after us, and so did the attorneys in San Francisco, and printed a lot of falsehoods. And
our local paper, jumped on board too.
Yeah, they were. Unfortunately, they didn't get the facts. Now, I did have a discussion with Steve Smith, the editor, and he claims that he's going to investigate the inaccuracies because
right.
I complained to them. But, the media isn't necessarily with us, law enforcement in general. This is kind of a nationwide trend. But our local papers seem to be a little bit more objective, and certainly the news media up in Oregon, out of Medford, seems to be a little bit more objective. But generally speaking, the news media is not in our corner, I don't think. So, and unfortunately, this is creating problems for law enforcement, not only in my county, but regionally and throughout the country, really.
Yeah, and then, we've got the Attorney General's office in Siskiyou County after reports of sheriff intimidating voters, which, of course, is a giant lie because you guys, your county clerk actually asked them to come and look into the voter fraud, which is actually
Right.
Sort
what
of
what
ironic.
Happened was, yeah, our county clerk received at least 200 questionable voter registration application forms. They provide that to the district attorney in Siskiyou County and also provide it to the Secretary of State. I received at least four or five separate requests, you know, from the state to assist them because they were going to visit Siskiyou County and go out and investigate these allegations of voter fraud. Now, to me, we're assisting, the state investigators, and as the chief law enforcement officer in the county, you know, I have an obligation. Continuously, I provide support to federal and state law enforcement authorities because, you know, it's more or less my job. But what I did is I got the county department heads together, you know, the county clerk and the planning department and the Siskiyou County District Attorney's Office, our county assessor. We were involved, and we got, you know, the investigators from the state were all in one room, and what we were going to provide them was we were going to help them find these locations because a lot of these were obscure locations in the Hornbrook area, the KRCE area, which is the Klamath River Country Estates, and then the Mount Shasta Vista area, and then the Mount Shasta Forest. And these are very remote areas of the county, and we estimate that there are about 2,000 illegal marijuana cultivation sites in this area. So
wow.
You know, we've received recurring reports of intimidation, of vicious dogs, semi-automatic and automatic weapons fire, reports of people carrying assault-type weapons in these areas.
And we're
helping the state investigate potential felony violations of the elections code. And
so
we were going to escort them to the areas. And it wasn't just us. We had the Siskiyou County District Attorney's Chief Bureau of Investigations Chief there. We had Cal Fire help us one day. But we were providing security and really serving as guides for these state investigators. They're the ones that were making the contacts. And, what's sad about this whole situation is the fact that of the 200, we only visited 39 sites, and in those sites, after talking to my people, we only contacted 12 or 13 people in these sites. A couple of them actually admitted that they essentially committed voter fraud. Now, it wasn't our job to investigate that. We were assisting a state agency, and
sure.
What happened was suddenly we get these reports that were given to the press by the attorneys in San Francisco that they had hired because there's millions of dollars that had been infused in Siskiyou County, and there's organized crime here. And these people are coming from, you know, counties like Butte County, Fresno County, Trinity County. They're coming from states like Minnesota and Wisconsin and Massachusetts, Michigan, and suddenly, you know, we're being accused, me personally and my department, when we're assisting a state agency of voter, suppression allegations, which was just ridiculous. First of all,
hold that thought. We've got to take a really quick break. But
all right.
when we come back,
it's not a short story.
Yeah, no, which is good because that's why we thought we'd need the whole show. I think we will. When we come back, though, I want you to give us some demographics on your county to explain why these state agencies might need somebody to go with them to find some of these places. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too long to be proud, and you don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels.
So we'll have a little silly music going. Not to make light of the topic, but
that's just to keep John's blood pressure down.
Just to keep everyone's blood pressure down.
There we go.
That's what the music's for.
Yeah.
So, Sheriff Lopey, tell us some demographic information about your county.
Well, Siskiyou County, we have the fifth largest county geographically in the state. We have about 6,172 square miles. We have about 45,500 people. What's happened the last 2 years, traditionally rural counties like mine have been besieged by drug cartels. Most of them are from Mexico, not all of them. We call them DTOs, drug trafficking organizations. And most of them have traditionally operated in county, public land areas. In my county, it's mostly U.S. Forest Service. Now, that was traditionally, our biggest problem in years past. And we still have drug cartels in our public land areas. However, that's the biggest issue, a challenge we have that has arisen over the last couple years is the private property illegal marijuana grows. And I want to say up front that, the commercial illegal marijuana cultivators and purveyors in my county and elsewhere have attacked us because they accuse us of violating people's constitutional rights and attacking medical marijuana, proponents. That couldn't be furthest from the truth. As a sheriff, I'm obligated to protect the rights of people who have medical recommendations from a doctor for, a serious illness, as long as they have an amount of marijuana that's consistent with their prescribed needs. So I'm not talking about going after, medical marijuana users. I'm going after illegal drug traffickers because what's happened over the last couple of years, last year, we had this influx into our county, many, many people coming here to grow marijuana, to set up shop growing marijuana under the guise of the medical marijuana laws. Like many of them will have a recommendation, and many of these grow sites are in these areas I mentioned earlier, these three areas. But we also have a tremendous problem in Butte Valley out towards Doris and Tule Lake, and we also have a serious problem down at Happy Camp.
And you do have rules in place to
cheap land, and the fact that we had over the last couple of years struggled to pass a land zoning ordinance that would control marijuana cultivation, and we did pass a ordinance last year, the county board of supervisors did, that restricted the number of plants you could grow on county land parcels, and it ranged from six plants to 36, depending on the maturity of the plant and the size of the parcel. And one of our primary concerns also was that a lot of people were moving into parcels. They were buying relatively cheap land, and they were moving in and basically camping out, and many of them did not have a primary residential structure. They didn't have a well, and they didn't have a septic tank or a water treatment.
So a travel trailer doesn't count.
Didn't have proper fencing. Many of them started growing large amounts of marijuana, 50, 99, 200, 300 plants. And it was obvious that these cultivation sites were not, designed to provide, amount of medical marijuana, consistent with anyone's medical needs. It was commercial, illegal marijuana that was being produced and basically distributed to other states and other counties within the state. And what happened this year is because last year I thought the ordinance was a fairly good ordinance, but we had an enforcement protocol that was bogged down because the attorney showed up representing the growers, and our protocol to enforce the ordinance was paralyzed. So the county went back to the drawing board, designed a new ordinance that does not allow outdoor marijuana cultivation to control this huge problem, and we have an enforcement protocol that theoretically allows us to eradicate or to abate nuisances once they've been established within 5 days, and then if they appeal, there's five additional days. But we greatly shorten the time within which somebody could actually grow the marijuana and for us to come in and basically abate the nuisance, because our old system was taking 45 to 60 days, and then it was shut down. So now the county has two ordinances that we could work with that will be effective, because unfortunately last year we probably had in excess of 1,000 illegal grow sites in Siskiyou County that we were aware of on private property. And then this year we know that the number of sites have literally tripled, which has created a significant problem for us because, first of all, I've done a lot of research on this, and there are many, many health ramifications that are very deleterious to people. You know, the shattered lives, the families, the communities. And this, the THC levels, the active ingredient in marijuana or cannabis that creates the high, and that is the active ingredient for marijuana, the THC levels are elevating alarmingly, and it ranges, THC levels for regular marijuana ranges from about 10 to 35%, and in my county, that it usually hovers somewhere around 20%. That is highly potent marijuana. And then we started encountering a lot of THC extraction labs or honey oil labs, which produces a oily substances not unlike hashish oil that is very high in THC content that ranges from about 60 to 95% potency. So we have a serious problem. Now, this influx of people have come from counties that primarily that have more restrictive ordinances. So they took advantage of our lack of, enforcement ordinance-wise and have come up here, probably several thousand people have come up here into Siskiyou County, and they're occupying these rural parcels, and they are growing illegal marijuana because they're not growing an amount that is consistent with their prescribed medical needs. And we have intelligence to indicate that there's organized crime elements that are infusing millions of dollars into my county to basically overcome law enforcement efforts and hijack our political system to impose their will on us. And even if you don't agree with the health ramifications of marijuana use, what is impacting us the most is we're on the, in the fifth year of a drought. We had a good winter, but we have insecticides, pesticides, rodenticides, and herbicides being used on these sites. We have fertilizers. We have land excavations that are being done contrary to the regulatory provisions that the county requires. We have many of these sites where they're cutting down trees. They're ruining flora and fauna. They're jeopardizing wildlife, fish, and other animals. In many cases, they're stealing, we have water thefts. They are using, marijuana uses a tremendous amount of marijuana water. In plants, it ranges from about anywhere from 2 gallons to 12 or more per plant per day. 3 years ago, I did a survey 3 years ago, we seized 189,011 plants, and we calculated those plants that were seized in public land areas took about 1.3 million gallons of water a day to produce. So we have this blight, this environmental blight on our environment, and this water, watersheds are being contaminated. We have illegal stream bed diversions, and this is an environmental disaster of astronomical levels that we don't hear too much from the environmental groups that will come in here and try to stop timber sales. But we have this marijuana is creating tremendous problems.
Hey, John, I got a quick question here.
John.
Hey, John.
I don't think he can hear us.
County, and neither do the good citizens of Siskiyou County want us to be a drug-centered economy or county, and we do not want to be a drug distribution center for the rest of the country either.
Hey, John, can you hear us?
We have to take a really quick break. We got to work on our sound. We can't, you can't hear us. We can hear you, though, so that's good, actually. Really quick break. We'll be right back. We've got a couple questions for you when we return, mostly having to do with, you know, what's your ability to, like, fly drones over it and spot this stuff? You know, can you bring in National Guard? How do you, can you cut the money off? We have a lot of questions like that that people are firing at us through the chat room.
Okay.
You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Is coming back to bite us. So we have Robert on hold who has a question for the sheriff. We should probably do that before we get carried away here. Robert?
Yes?
Fire away.
Hey, I want to thank the sheriff for coming on the show. I, too, am a war veteran of recent operations. So thank you for your service, sir. I've spent some time after service getting into the field of psychology. I'm a aspiring therapist here in Reading, but I've seen this whole thing about marijuana take on a couple of different problems as far as we're dealing with an issue of illegal immigration. And let me start by saying first and foremost that I'm Hispanic, so talking about illegal immigration is not a racial issue. That being said, it's directly tied into these illegal grows that are occurring on private property. My parents have been out in Cottonwood for over 30 years, and the little ponds and streams where I've used to fish in as a kid just totally sucked of water, and you could Google map everywhere in northern Tehama County and see all these illegal grows out there, but there are no, like the sheriff said, no structures set up. So I'm wondering, my question to the sheriff is, how does this lack of enforcement of immigration laws really tie into this problem with these illegal grows?
Well, Robert, first of all, thank you for your service, and thank you for acknowledging mine. I really appreciate it. First of all, I think a lot of the problems we have, like the drug cartels, the DTOs from Mexico, you know, most of our drugs are coming in through Mexico, and unfortunately, because of our lack of border security, we have more crime here generated by people that are here illegally. It has a direct impact. And because of the freedom of movement, the fact that right now, believe it or not, I went to a recent California State Sheriff's Association meeting, and we were told by immigration officials, and again, I do not want to disparage our federal law enforcement counterparts because they're dedicated law enforcement professionals and they want to do the job just as well as we do or just as much, but they have been hamstrung by high-ranking bureaucrats who are not allowing them to do their job. You know, right now something like 87% of the illegal aliens that are picked up don't even get deported because you have to have like three misdemeanor convictions or be arrested for a felony that involves, you know, some type of violence. So obviously this has an adverse impact on drug trafficking, on the drug trade, because we have drug trafficking organizations that are operating from Mexico. You know, I go to Western State Sheriff's Association meetings because I'm one of the California state representatives on the Western State Sheriff's Association, which represents 15 Western and Midwest states. And you ought to talk to these sheriffs that are on the borders. They're under siege every day. And we actually have armed cartel members occupying mountain ridges in the United States of America, reconning and providing surveillance, giving information to the cartels and drug trafficking, you know, organizations. And again, this, the DTOs, the drug trafficking organizations, are also involved in human trafficking. I'm convinced in Siskiyou County, and I'm working with my federal agency counterparts to combat some of the human trafficking that I think, and exploitation of people in the drug trafficking arena or vocation. And it has a direct impact.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing. Thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. We need more sheriffs like you around the entire country. And just one more comment on the marijuana. Really, it's, you know, in my field, we understand how a human brain develops, and it's not really fully developed until somewhere between the age of 25 and 30, and it may be even more than that. But when you introduce a chemical like THC into somebody's brain that is not fully developed, you create an impairment in that person's ability to function later on in life that is permanent. In other words, they do not fully develop because of the fact that THC has been introduced into their system prior to them reaching full brain maturity. So that's just kind of a little bit of science I wanted to throw in there. And again, thank you for your time. Your show is awesome, man.
Yeah, and Robert, I'll tell you, you are right on target.
Yep.
And your statement is a one of wisdom, because you have just backed up thousands of scientific studies. Studies clearly show that adolescents, especially if they start marijuana use in their early teens, are more prone to schizophrenia, bipolar disorders, and other psychological disorders. Furthermore, adolescents often encounter a 6 to 8 percent point drop in their IQ if they're habitual users of marijuana through their adolescent years. And, really, marijuana has been linked to everything from impotence to brain cancer. It can be very deleterious to your health, and the younger you start using it, the more, deleterious or more adverse of impact it will have on you. And studies also show that people that use marijuana habitually have a lower income, are less successful in life, do poorly in school, and also are somewhat more dysfunctional than their counterparts who stay away from it. So thank you very much. It's a very, very great statement.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Robert. We appreciate that. Hey,
thanks for your call and thanks for your service.
John, I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier with the pesticides and the herbicides and that sort of thing. Why can't we get like Department of Fish and Game, EPA,
water quality,
all these state agencies to do anything about this massive pollution problem? And a lot of us have seen it. If you go out in the woods and you look at some of these older grow sites where they've left, it's an absolute dump site.
It's a toxic dump.
Cleanup.
Right.
Why aren't they going after them on that angle?
Well, we are exploring the possibility of getting the North Coast Regional Water Control Board involved. And also to the Fish and Wildlife, the California Fish and Wildlife's credit, they did put a warden on the North State Marijuana Investigation Team, which is a regional team out of Redding. I have a member on that team, and they're primarily attacking the grows in the public land areas. But there definitely needs to be more emphasis by these resource agencies on this enforcement, because this is serious.
Absolutely.
Because you take, my member recently, they encountered carbofuran, which is a deadly insecticide that was outlawed in the United States decades ago, but it's brought up from Mexico. And this carbofuran, like a half a teaspoon will kill a bear.
And what happens is the some of these cartel members will spread this powder-type carbapenem substance around a grow site to keep animals away, and animals will eat this, they'll die, and then birds will feed on the carcasses, and then this also leaks into the watersheds. This environmental blight created by large-scale marijuana grows, whether it's on public or private lands, is having a catastrophic impact on our environment and on our precious water resources. And yes, you're absolutely right. We need to get more help. Now, I am attempting to tap into some federal and state resources, especially to attack everything from finances to these environmental issues. But you're absolutely right. We need more help. The Fish and Wildlife has a team that goes around that attacks, marijuana grows primarily in public land areas. In my opinion, we should have someone from the Fish and Wildlife or North Coast Regional Water Control Board. They should have investigators that help us with these environmental investigations, because to me, that's the biggest danger that we're facing.
Oh my gosh, yes. And you have, you just have so many facets of this. I'm curious, when we come back, we need to know, what's the deal with the federal government? It's pot's not legal there, but it's legal in the state of California. I'm curious to know how that incompatibility actually fuels this and allows it to keep going.
And why the federal government doesn't really enforce any of the laws being broken either. Let's talk about that.
Well, why don't they?
That's a great point.
giant question there. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopie out of Siskiyou County. I guess I forgot to say that the last couple breaks. We are chatting with him about the prevalence of marijuana in his county, and we'll be right back.
Sailing lightly.
Get away from here.
Man, is that the reefer man?
That's the reefer man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This stuff. Who was it?
That was Jimmy Buffett.
Really? That didn't sound like him. He wasn't singing about umbrella drinks and some tropical paradise. I didn't recognize it. So we are talking with Sheriff John Lopie this morning about marijuana and what it can do for your county if you just don't have enough resources and you have a ton of... How much of this is on public land, John, and how much of it is private? Just out of curiosity.
Well, right now, again, 62% of our land is public land, and the biggest marijuana problem we have right now is on private lands.
Okay.
We estimate we have at least 2,000 illegal marijuana grows on private property, mostly on, like 2.5-acre parcels or larger. And we do have a lot of illegal grows on, the public land areas. But our biggest problem right now is these private property grows.
Hey, John, when you talk about illegal grows, tell us, what is legal? I mean, what can you legally grow in Siskiyou County, and what are you actually seeing? What's being raided out there?
Well, the big controversy in our county was measures T and U. T was the enforcement protocol, which allows us within approximately 10 days to abate a nuisance, and that is outdoor
growing of marijuana, because our new ordinance, which was Measure U, our new ordinance does not allow outdoor cultivation of marijuana in county areas. It doesn't impact the cities. And it allows you 12 plants. You could have 12 marijuana plants, cannabis plants, in a separate structure, you know, basically an indoor grow. Now, there's a lot of confusion out there, you know, and what I tell the medical marijuana community continuously, and sometimes this message is often distorted, is that we allow, you know, we do not bother the medical marijuana user as long as they have a recommendation and they have an amount of marijuana consistent with their prescribed medical needs. But essentially, our new law only allows 12 cannabis plants indoors in county areas.
Okay. And then what is...
what are you seeing in real life?
Yeah, what are you finding out there? I mean, we're hearing about commercial grows.
You know, I've gone to some of these grows, and I'll give you an example. We had a... we served a search warrant on York Road, which is a rural area up by KRCE, this Klamath River Country Estates. And there was a small parcel. There was a there was two mobile homes on this parcel, a garage, a tent, and a couple of other structures. And we found 65 marijuana plants that were still in the ground. 125 had been harvested. Those plants were not great plants. We figured they would produce about 1 or 2 pounds each. We found 2,000 pounds of processed marijuana, and we found 21 people on the site. Now, what were they doing on the site? They were processing the marijuana for illegal distribution, because they even had the one-pound bags, because generally they'll trim the marijuana. It's the, you know, the bud. It's the potent marijuana. They'll trim it, they'll put it in the bags, and then that is transported to, you know, down into the Central Valley, Bay Area, and to other states. And that retail, you know, that's millions of dollars worth of marijuana. But what we're finding in most of the sites on private property, we're finding 50 plants, 99 plants. We're finding 200, 300 plants. And many of these plants, you know, these people are spending millions of dollars, and these organizations, these organized crime organizations, are spending millions of dollars in Siskiyou County. And isn't it suspicious to you that nearly every one of these transactions, they will buy the land for cash. They will buy all their supplies for cash. They'll go to Meek's Lumber Supply. They'll go to Tractor Supply Company. They'll go to Ace Hardware, and they're spending cash for everything. And many of them come from other states. Many of them have not been here very long. Many of them are not abiding by county rules and regulations, because you're supposed to have water, and you're supposed to have a septic in the county areas, and you're also supposed to have either an established residence or have, you know, a trailer or something that you are using, but you have to get a building permit. Most of the people are not complying with this.
Right, and they're far from that. We're going to come back second hour with Sheriff John Lopey. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.